Do you want to learn effective ways to build relationships, generate sales, and grow your business from successful entrepreneurs, startups, and CEOs without listening to a long, long, long interview? If so, you've come to the right place. Gresham Harkness values your time and is ready to share with you precisely the information you're in search of. This is the I Am CEO Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresh from the I Am CEO Podcast, and I have a very special guest on the show today. I have Nikita Montgomery of Hazel O Salon. Nikita, it's awesome to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited about the opportunity to chat with you.
Yeah, no problem. Definitely excited to hear a lot more from you. And before we jump right in, I want to read a little bit more about Nikita so you can hear about all the awesome things that she's doing. And Nikita is a savvy entrepreneur with an eye for innovative and classic business models. The notion that one can create products, opportunities, and experiences for others in exchange for capital has always been inspiring. Her entrepreneurial portfolio includes a myriad of businesses, consulting, real estate, e-commerce, and a brick and mortar. Despite a seemingly innate acumen for free enterprise, Nikki earned a certificate in women's entrepreneurship from Cornell University. And through the workshop and events like Business Over Brunch, speaking engagements, and other outlets, Nikki has shared her knowledge and experiences with many aspiring and current business owners. And super excited she gets the opportunity to do that today. Nikki, are you ready to speak to the I Am CEO community?
Yes, I'm ready.
Awesome. Let's do it. So I know reading your bio, I touched a little bit on that entrepreneurial spirit you have. So I wanted to hear a little bit more about that, your background. What led you to get started with all the awesome things you're working on?
So I've always, I'm a little bit of a rebel for a good cause. but I just, my personality type, I need to kind of be free to move about and work on things in the way that I like to work on them. I'm still very productive, but the long and short is that I know I couldn't have a boss for long. So I started in middle school. I sold candy. I've always kind of had like a hustle. But somewhere along the lines, I got into the college to job track. And I worked for the federal government for 10 years. But 6 months after working there, I knew that I just shouldn't be there any longer. And unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, because I was able to learn good things. I just stayed there for 9.5 years because I was too scared to implore other options. And having a job, especially one with the federal government, seemed like the safest, secure, most profitable option for me at the time. So during that time, I had 3 kids. And mothering while you're on someone else's time, especially when your kids are young. I know people do it all the time, but that coupled with the fact that I knew that I always had an entrepreneurial spirit, they just didn't mix for long. So by my 3rd child, I resigned. And I didn't hate my job at the time. I worked from home 4 days a week. It was just an internal thing where it was like, okay, I know that there's more for me. So I resigned from my job in July of 2016, and I went directly into copywriting, proofreading, consulting, and PR. So at that time, I honestly was just kind of honing all the things that I knew I could do well and leveraging them so that I could earn income. So I've always been an excellent writer. So I edited a ton of books for some independent authors. I also did some independent public relations projects with some other companies that I knew and on my own as well, which involved a little bit of event management. So I just kind of went full force into whatever I could use my talents to do to make money at the time. And then in February of 2019, I got together with my cousin, and we had always talked about going into business together. She's an entrepreneur as well. And we decided to open a hair salon. It had actually been in my vision book for 10 years. So I have a book where I write down all the things that are in my head, because at any given moment, there can be 3 to 5,000. So I just kind of put them on paper so that, you know, if it works out one day, then cool. If it was just a fleeting thought, then fine. So in February, we decided we're going to go full force and do this. Our grandmother was a hairstylist in the same area where we have the business now. I used to do celebrity makeup, and I actually used to assist in a salon in college. But the beauty industry has just always been something that's very intriguing to me. I have a love for it. And of course, it's profitable. So we decided to just go full force, and here we are.
Nice. I definitely appreciate that. And it's kind of sometimes interesting and funny when you can kind of look back at your life and you kind of see like how the dots, you know, all kind of align. As you were talking about, your grandmother had the hair salon business. You've always been interested in it. You've always had that entrepreneurial spirit, and your cousin did too. So how all those things start to align. And even though sometimes we're not always on our full path, we kind of are on our path where it's right in alignment with our skills and our talents. And I say our calling. A lot of times we know exactly where it is and we know how to get back to it.
Absolutely.
Awesome. 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 So I know you touched on a little bit. Could you take us through exactly what we can find at the salon, like how it works, how you work with your clients, and just all the awesome things you guys are doing there?
So I don't know, you're a gentleman, so I don't know how many hair salons you've been in, but there are not a lot of salons that provide an overall great experience. I've talked to so many people who love getting their hair done, but they hate going to the hair salon, me being one of them. It's time consuming. There are often a lot of people there. There can be that kind of salon talk that goes on in there. So sometimes it's not, you know, the most relaxing or most upscale environment. So we wanted to create that. I mean, we literally call ourselves like an urban oasis. So if you were to come in here, you will find that it has a Floridian vibe, which is where my grandmother's from. So she's from Florida. She loved the sun. She loved the beach. And we infused that all throughout the salon. The other reason why it was important was because we're in the DMV and everybody's always moving fast. There's a lot of traffic. Like, you don't get to really kind of sit back and relax, especially when you're getting like pampering services, just because of all the commotion that's going on around. So we really wanted to make sure when people came into the space that they felt relaxed, they felt warm, they felt like they could just kind of take a deep breath. I think that what makes us most unique is that we are a diverse salon. So we are not an African-American salon. We're not a Caucasian salon. We don't just focus on one hair type. And it's not like, you know, we primarily do African-American hair, but we have stylists who can do Caucasian hair. No. If you look at our branding, all of our services and the clientele who comes in and out of here, we really have staff who can do both, because we kind of believe in, like, if you have hair, you should be able to go to any hair salon and get your hair done. I mean, I shouldn't really have to take pause and consider, well, are they able to do my hair because it's relaxed? Or, you know, do they do blonding because they're African American? So we are really passionate about that and about keeping that vibe so that all can kind of enjoy the space and feel welcome, and that it can kind of be a bridge and educate people on either side who may not be as familiar with how beauty works in specific cultures.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And yeah, I definitely haven't been to very many salons other than when I was a kid and I had to go with my mom. And I don't have much hair at all anyways, but I can imagine, like, I love that overall kind of how you focus on the experience. And as you kind of talked about, you know, kind of being able to work on anybody that has hair, I imagine that's part of that. And definitely correct me if I'm wrong, sounds like that could be part of the stress too, and trying to figure out if you're going to the right salon is good. Even Absolutely. Before you actually get there, you have that stress and kind of hesitation from the beginning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. For women, it's a big deal. We actually had a client come in here one day and she was very frustrated and she stomped up the steps and, you know, we were like, what just happened? And she said, can you guys do my hair? And we were like, sure. She said she walked up and down the street and went in about three different salons and no one was able to do her hair. So she basically had extensions. But once we got them out, which took maybe 15 minutes, she really just wanted a blowout, which was disappointing, because even though she was African-American, it's a service that even most Caucasian salons provide, but no one was willing to investigate to even see if it was something that they could do. So yes, we're very passionate about being able to service anyone, basically.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. So definitely appreciate that. I know you gave us your secret sauce and everything. I wasn't sure if there's anything additional you want to add to what kind of sets you guys apart, or did you definitely touch on it?
Well, I haven't been to every salon, obviously, in the country or in the world, but everyone who has been here has said, from professional to client, these are people who are well-traveled in the industry, and just clients who have traveled a lot, they say hands down this is the nicest salon that they've ever been in. So just being here and seeing like the decor and the warmth and the vibe, I definitely think that if nothing else, sets us apart, because we've created something really experiential here.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. And I think that, as you said, you know, having that making it less stress or de-stressing, you know, that overall process. And I love the fact that you were able to incorporate, you know, everything that was important to your grandma as well, too, is just having that Floridian vibe, the sun and all of those things, especially when it sometimes gets, you know, super cold here in the DMV. It probably helps out as far as alleviating some of that stress.
Absolutely.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So I wanted to switch gears a little bit, and I wanted to ask you for what I call a CEO hack. So that could be like an app, a book, or a habit that you have, but what's something that makes you more effective and efficient?
Can I give two things?
Absolutely, go for it.
Well, the one thing is just like setting my intention for the day when I wake up. And it's not even really setting my attention, but I'm a Christian, so I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, and I really wake up and kind of pray like, okay, what's my priority for the day? Because I think it's really easy to like wake up and just start doing, and then like you're checking emails and your kids are pulling on you and you know your staff needs something, so you can kind of really just wake up and get thrown into the day without having prepped for it. So it's really important that I like have a little bit of quiet time in the morning, you know, play music and listen to podcasts on the way in so that I can just kind of set my footing for the day.
Awesome. Awesome. So now I wanted to ask you for what I call a CEO nugget. So that could be like a word of wisdom or a piece of advice, or if you can hop into a time machine, what would you tell your younger business self?
I would tell my younger business self to start somewhere. So I find that a lot of people, one of the things that I did and have recently returned to now that I have the salon up and running is small business consulting. So I always get people who are like, but I don't know where to start, and I don't have a ton of followers, and I don't have a website. It's a process. And I think that that was one of the things that kind of got me when I first started. I'm willing to work hard, but I want to see the fruits of my labor like quickly. Mm-hmm. And the bigger the projects get, the bigger the investment gets, oftentimes the slower the return. The return is great, but it may not happen overnight. So I would definitely tell people to be patient and to start somewhere. So you may not have a ton of followers, but if you only have 50, are there two who could patronize your business? And don't be intimidated by the fact that you only have 50. You know, it's a growing, it's a seed planting, and the seed planting, if anyone has ever purchased stock and just monitored how like something like an Amazon or an Apple has grown over the years, there were people who purchased that stock when it was, you know, $50 and not worth much, but they're cashing in now. So if you have to cash in later, that's fine, but start somewhere, be patient, and be consistent.
Absolutely. No, I love that nugget. And I think sometimes we forget that it's a marathon. And I think, as you said, like sometimes the bigger the goal or the aspiration or thing that you're trying to do, often the more patient you have to be, because it does take a lot longer. And then, you know, I think that sometimes a lot of times life is about perspective as well, in business especially too, but you don't realize that those 50 followers you have, two people that can, you know, as you said, patronize your business. So we're always looking at, why don't I have 100,000 followers, when in reality you have a lot of things in place already. And now I wanted to ask you my absolute favorite question, which is the definition of what it means to be a CEO. And we're hoping to have different quote unquote CEOs on this show. So Nikita, what does being a CEO mean to you?
Being a CEO essentially means leadership to me, and not leadership in the sense that I'm at the pinnacle of some organizational structure, but leadership in the sense that I'm responsible for the impressions of those who follow me. And I don't take that lightly. I don't take it lightly with my children, and I don't take it lightly with anyone who I lead. As a CEO or a leader, you have a duty to kind of mentor and raise people, if you will, in whatever that thing is that you are the CEO of. I know there's been a big debate for years about how celebrities aren't, you know, mentors, or they're not responsible for, you know, being, you know, having good impressions upon children or people who are not in their market. But the fact of the matter is, by virtue of us being leaders, we become stewards of people. And that just means a lot to me. I would never want to steer anyone in the wrong direction. No, it doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect, but it always means that I'm mindful that people are watching me. And if people are watching me, I want to leave them with the best of me, not just my flaws. They'll inevitably see them. But I think that as long as there is a track for growth, and the good outweighs the faults, then I'm on the right track.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes so much sense. And I think a lot of times we don't realize who's looking at us, who's looking at the things that we're doing as leaders. And I think if, as you said, not being perfect, but at the same time, understanding that we have flaws, making mistakes, but always having that kind of strive for greatness is definitely, you know, something that is incredibly important to being a CEO in any shape or fashion in our lives. So definitely appreciate that definition. I appreciate your time even more. What I wanted to do was pass you the mic, so to speak, just to see if there's anything additional you can let our readers and listeners know. And then of course, how best they can find out about you, the salon, and all the awesome things you're working on.
Finally, I would just say to, you know, pursue your purpose. As an entrepreneur, I know we can tend to like have our hands in multiple pots, as do I. I'm not necessarily as passionate about all subjects as I am about some, but I do carefully evaluate what things I am purposed to do in this life and how they transfer over to me being an entrepreneur. So if any of you are contemplating entrepreneurship or, you know, just charting out your growth, I would always start with what are you here to do? So you guys can reach me at Nikki Monty. That is my handle on Instagram, and that is my website. So it's at Nikimonty on Instagram, and online is Nikimonty.com. Hazel O Salon is HazelOSalon.com. We are located in Alexandria, Virginia, and you're welcome to reach out to us on any of those platforms I just named.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you so much again, Nikki, for doing all the awesome things you're doing and for giving us a reminder of keeping our purpose as a North Star as always.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We'll definitely have those links and information in the show notes so that everybody can follow up with you and connect with you, see all the awesome things you're working on. But again, appreciate you tremendously, and I hope you have a phenomenal rest of the day.
Thank you for listening to the I Am CEO podcast powered by Blue 16 Media. Tune in next time and visit us at imceo.co. I Am CEO is not just a phrase, it's a community. Be sure to follow us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and everywhere you listen to podcasts. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating. Grab CEO gear at www.ceogear.co. This has been the I Am CEO podcast with Gresham Harkless. Thank you for listening.